Well, good morning again, and LA. We are glad you're up. You're here at North this morning. All we are so thankful that you have joined us. If you're new with us, like Kara mentioned, we do want to invite you to stick around for a few weeks. We find that if you do stick around for about 6 weeks, kind of find out who we are, how we speak, the community we are, and we really just hope you can find a home. This season, as Kara's already mentioned, is the season of Lent. And again, you might be from church culture that's never been talked about. You might have never set foot in a church. And you might be like, you know, are you talking about what's in my pockets? You know, the Lent stuff, like, what are you talking about? And this season, as Kara mentioned, is a season of preparation. Throughout church history, and not only church history, but even Jewish history, the calendar was used as a tool for our own discipleships, for our own discipleship and being made more into the image of God. The Jewish folks celebrated three major festivals a year. And those kind of festivals, those seasons, would be seasons where they would think about like certain aspects of what God had done for his people. Well, Lent is one of these seasons that prepares us for Easter. It's 40 days where we really join on this journey with Jesus towards the cross. And we do this in a way where we come into a season of self-reflection. Vintage has a tool this season that we want to give you. Most of you might have received it on the way in. There's a Lenten kind of prayer guide that we have developed that we want to just invite you to join us in devotionally in this season as a way to prepare yourself as we celebrate Good Friday, which is remembering Jesus' suffering and his crucifixion for our sin, but also ultimately for Easter and for that day where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I just want to invite you into that. This season, we are starting a new sermon series in Matthew, and particularly, you've heard it today, we are going to be focusing, we're laser focusing on the Lord's Prayer, how Jesus taught us to pray. J.I. Packer said this in Knowing God. He says, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child. I'm going to read that one more time. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts his whole outlook on life, it means he does not understand Christianity very well. The idea of God as Father is one that is revolutionary in your faith, but for many of us, it's very hard. Over the last 3 years, I've had to get in touch with just my own dad and had some issues that, like, really, this thing in this kind of image I had of my dad kind of came crumbling down over the last 3 years. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, where I had to kind of come to grips with just my own maybe daddy issues. A lot of us in this room just don't have great relationships with our father. In fact, they're actually really challenging. And this can really frame the way we think of God. But I want to invite you today to try to imagine if you have those issues, to wonder why it hurts so bad. Because you were designed for a father relationship at the core of who you are. This prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray, we're going to look at verse 9. We're just going to look at Matthew 6:9. And Jesus teaches us one of the most important realities, that when you pray, the only way you can talk to God is believing good news. The only prayer that God hears is from his children. I mean, that's amazing. Every one of you, Jesus invites you today to call upon your Father. Nothing's hindering you today than calling out to Father. We have to believe this good news that God is our Father. And today, I want to just ask God to do what he wants in this time. I want to pray this prayer that Jesus gives us that we just sang. So if you would, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Prayer must begin with intimacy. Prayer must begin with intimacy. Teach us to pray, Jesus. He says, start like this. Our Father. The first thing that we need to know about prayer is prayer is being with God. It is not producing. It is not a doing of sorts. It is a relational being. It becomes for us a place where we interact with our deepest, most needed relationship, which is with our God. Prayer must begin with intimacy. It begins with Father. Our Father. It's amazing. Jesus, in teaching this prayer, just demands it's got to start with good news. Hey, there's good news. To pray to the Almighty God of this universe, who with one word spoke all that is from nothing, he created everything. This God who is in control of all things, the universe, all of our lives, the all powerful one, the all knowledgeable, the never changing, this God that we just walked through, that is none like him out there. How must you begin your prayer to God? Father. It starts with good news. It begins with great news that you are a child of God. The way to pray is to your Father. Jesus says, if you want to pray, pray then in verse 9. Look with me. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus begins with this incredible intro. Our Father in heaven. And he invites us to move away from what we constantly do in our own lives, which is a life of shame. Most of us have a very hard time thinking about God viewing us as Father and as a loving Father at that. A lot of us, when we get to a time of confession, or if we're in like kind of some real relationships where we could actually get real with one another and talk about maybe not just the good things of our life, but the kind of sin areas of our life. Man, we have so much shame there. We don't want people to know about these things. We're nervous. We barely like ourselves. In fact, a lot of us just don't like who we kind of are, who we see ourselves. We know all of what's going on in ourselves. And so what we do is we project that upon God. We project how we perceive ourselves, which is, man, if people really know me, no one would like me. Well, God really knows me, so God must not like me. He kind of puts up with me. God's so loving that he can kind of handle all of me in my mess. That's what we think. We might not say that in our souls. In fact, a lot of us just try to stay on the theological truths and concepts. So we're like, oh, I know God is love. God loves me. But if we actually took some time, then we're uncomfortable with some of these thoughts and self-rejection and kind of all the shame that we put on ourselves kind of is how a lot of us live. And we project our shame upon God, that he just doesn't like us. And Jesus kind of, with teaching us this prayer, teaches us, hey, the way you have to start the prayer is by being accepted. You have to enter into God's presence, the psalmist would say, with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Our Father is the loudest praise that can come from your tongue. It is the loudest thanksgiving that can be in your heart and in your soul. That God is our Father is a chorus of mighty praise. Brennan Manning, in his book, Abba's Child, said this: self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. I'm going to read that one more time. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us beloved. Do you hear that? The greatest impediment to our spiritual maturity is our self-rejection. It's that we live in just a constant state of shame, because shame is the devil and ourselves saying, man, God doesn't love you. But God has been crystal clear through all of Scripture and in the face of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God says about you? I love you. You are my beloved. And self-rejection will be an incredible impediment to growth in your spiritual life. Brennan Manning says it's the greatest enemy of it. And I think he's on to something here. The prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray is, pray like this: our Father. I mean, what an amazing beginning. We're an accepted sons and daughters of God. Think about the word "our." So there's three kind of meanings that I want to pull out of this. Our Father. This is a corporate prayer. It's not just a singular personal prayer. It's our Father. Well, who is this? How this is plural. Our Father. There's three people and groups that I kind of want you to think about. One is, this is saying these words with Jesus. How do we come to our Father? I think Jesus wants to first invite you into, every time you sit down to pray, I'll go with you. And I'm going to hold your hand. And we're going to talk to our Father. When you pray, imagine that. that resurrected body with those nail-pierced hands takes your hand, says, let's talk to our Father. That is the beginning place of our. How can God be our Father? It's Jesus Christ himself. He is the one that his whole mission was to adopt us as sons and daughters. His life, death, resurrection, all of it made us into sons and daughters of God. I love that song that we sang. And right after, you know, Kara comes up and does our time of confession, assurance of pardon, says, you know, the reality of when you were saved, when somebody says, hey, when did you get saved? Tell them 2,000 years ago. It wasn't when you were 5 years old or 10 years old or when you were 30, or maybe it'll be today in your life that you go, you know what? I want to say our Father for the first time. You know when you were adopted? When Jesus died on that cross and rose again. That's when we were saved. It has nothing to do with us, our salvation. It's everything with God. In this prayer, our Father needs to start with Jesus Christ himself. We pray our Father with Christ. We come into God's presence to delight in the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is a prayer of delight. This is a prayer of complete fellowship. We enter into the divine life when we pray because we do it with Jesus. That's the first thing I want to think about when you think about R. Secondly, I want you to just look around right now. We do this with our local church, with all of you. When I say our Father, this is our Father. Our Father right here in this place, in this local church. When we pray our Father, this is a corporate prayer for us. You know what makes us one? Jesus, his adoption. This is our Father. This is for us to say as a local body. You know what makes us one, makes us united? It's Christ. He broke down every dividing wall of hostility. He becomes our peace and he makes us into a family. And now we can pray our Father. But then the third thing is, you can't see all this, people. This connects us to the historic global lower C Catholic Church. All Christians for all times, we are connected to in this prayer. This is what I'm saying is a big prayer. This is a big R. We cry out as the full body of Christ, every believer from all time, and we call to God, our Father. This is massive. It's massive because it starts with Christ. It completes us in this room, makes us one as a local body, but then it connects us to every believer for all time. This is our Father. It's pretty amazing, right? I have not moved to two words. I'm two words into this prayer. I just started with the first R, and it to me, I'm pumped. Are y'all? I'm pumped. Okay, so the next word, let's get to Father. I mean, I started there. Our Father, Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:4-6. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. To say Father is to speak with God himself and to speak by God himself. The Spirit gets on our blood when we say these words. You can't cry out rightly Father in the positive way without the Spirit being in you, giving you that reassurance that you have been adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. He is the one, the Spirit is the one that puts this prayer in our souls. Jesus teaches us to pray. The Spirit helps us say it. The Spirit just gets in us and helps us cry out, Abba, Father. Do you know what you need in the deepest part of your soul? It's to say, Abba. Daddy. To the God who knows you completely, he's not ashamed of you. He doesn't put up with you. He looks at you like the best father looks at their son or daughter with an intense love that could never stop. And to cry out to that God is what life is. That Abba Father is the cry of life. It's the cry of your soul. This is what we are designed for. God himself. When Jesus teaches us to pray, he invites us into complete intimacy with God. Brennan Manning, also in the book Abba's Child, says this: define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is an illusion. I love that. Who are you that Brennan Manning is saying? You are beloved by God, as radically one beloved by God. Every other thing is a lie in this world. Every other thing that you could say about you is a lie. Satan himself, he is the father of lies. You have believed tons and tons of these lies that you are not loved, that God is ashamed of you, that you should be ashamed of every dark moment, that my worst moment defines who I am. Or maybe the opposite is true. The best moment of my life defines who I am. No. All of those, that is false. And God looks at you and he speaks to you and his Spirit himself will call into your soul, you are beloved. You are the one loved by God. This is why I'm pumped. It's because I got to, for 2 weeks, actually, because I wasn't here last week, think about, man, there's nothing deeper than our Father. Nothing. But then when I got to the in heaven, our Father in heaven, I did notice something in my soul, and I want to give you a thought experience. When you pray to our Father in heaven, how far away do you think that is? I'm going to give you a little second. When you say our Father in heaven, how far away is your Father from you? I noticed in my soul, I felt like he was very far. I felt like as I was praying, It was a very long distance. Yeah, heaven is just so far away. Maybe it's beyond the universe, the edges of the universe. That's not heaven. Heaven is not far away. Our Father in heaven, I've got to just tell you, I think a lot of us think is heaven as some far, 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 far away place. And it's where God and the angels reside. It's kind of cloudy, streets of, you know, gold and babies with harps or something. That's not it. It is. It is where God is. But Jesus came and he told us, you know what he said? The kingdom of heaven is where? Is at hand. You know how close heaven is to you? Here. Our Father in heaven is not a statement of distance from you. Jesus would remind you, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. He is not far away from you. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, or in heaven, here as it's translated, we are not speaking to our God that is a far way off. We are speaking to the God who is present. Heaven is not some far, far way. It is breaking into this world. At the very end of Revelation, you know what happens? Heaven and earth just get on a collision course with God. They break into each other. Heaven kind of comes down in this final picture of heaven and earth kind of become one. And we get to live in this world where the kingdom is right there at hand. When we say this prayer, I want you to think about in your soul, do you feel a distance with God when you say, who art in heaven? Don't. He's near. He's close. His loving presence may just be hard for you to see, but he is not distant from you. He is the God in heaven, the Almighty One. And yes, in the kind of, I love how one theologian describes heaven as where everything kind of that's happens. It's like the mechanism of how everything on earth happens. It happens there, but it's right really here. This God, Jesus tells us to pray, our Father in heaven. And then he goes on to say, holy, hallowed be thy name. This is the prayer that we're supposed to remember. Not only is God this personal presence, but we do rightly remember who God is. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the holy God of creation. He is the altogether different one. He is to be hallowed. He is to be reverenced. He is the God that is above and beyond and transcends all that is. We cannot know him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Michael Reeves, though, says this. He says, we must believe that the Most High is our Father. This combines these two realities, this personal reality with the transcendent God of the universe, that the Most High is our Father. And Michael Reeves goes on to say, and that is prayer. Listen to this. And that is prayer, relating to the Father as our Father. I'm going to say that one more time. This is prayer. It's relating to the Father as our Father. This book you need to get. This is by Michael Reeves. This is where I just, you know, quoted him from. Look at my Bible. That's big. What is this? Tiny. You know, even for you guys non-readers, look at the print. You cannot see that. That's big. And this is easy. This is like 40 pages. It's called Enjoy Your Prayer Life. It is $4.99 on Amazon. free one day if you have Prime. Man, Amazon, you should give me a cut, Jeff Bezos. Okay. This book's so great. He writes about the Trinity. He has a book called Delighting in the Trinity. That's kind of my favorite book I've ever read on the Trinity. And it helps him know how to, when you understand the Trinity and the relational connection within God himself, it helps you know how to pray. So his book on prayer is kind of this, one of the simplest, most profound books that I've ever met on prayer. You like, over this season, think about buying this. It is literally 46 pages, big print. I love how he says, here's prayer. Prayer is when you relate to the Father as our Father. So that means prayer is not going to be just about producing stuff. So let me tell you a dynamic at my house. If my kids only came to me to always show me how they think, hey, I've done all this stuff so that you will love me, that would actually challenge me. You don't need to do all that stuff for me to, you don't get it. Like, I love y'all. You don't need to like do this certain thing, do this job, this chore. Yes, you can be annoying kids, you know, but I love you. And God, I think, looks at us so often as we are constantly trying to earn our sonship or daughtership. That's not how it works to be a family. That's not how it works. If you want to be an employee, that's how it works. You know, if you want to be in an employee relationship with God, that's how that works. You do all these things and you climb a ladder and you finally get, you know, but you'll fall back because you mess up and then you have to do some more work. But Jesus in this prayer dismantles all that. He says, no, you got to pray. Every time you pray, you don't go talk to your boss. You talk to your Father. And you don't put forth, here's everything I've done. In fact, you release everything you've done and everything you're doing. What's the very next line that's going to come after this? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom done. Thy will be done. This is a challenging prayer for us. Not many of us want to relinquish control of our lives, relinquish the will of our lives over to someone else. But this is exactly this bold prayer that Jesus is going to teach us. He says, you got to let go. You have got to let go. And part of letting go is letting go of your shame today. Letting go of your self-rejection in your life. Let go of that and let God be your Father. Until you can let him be your Father, you won't be able to let your will just drop out of your hands and let his will be done. You won't do it. You won't know how to trust. You are designed to be the beloved of God. And when you are the beloved, you go, hey, whatever you want for this church, we're doing. Whatever you want for my soul, we're doing. I've got to give it up. I've got to relinquish my control. Thy will be done cannot be said unless you start with our Father and really mean it. Man, this is good news, okay? God is our Father. He is the one to be holy, to made hallow in our life. And this is what I want us to think about, is the first place we see a hallowing in Scripture starts early, early in Scripture. So I want us to think about when we say, hallowed be thy name, we're giving God where the holiness kind of due him. Well, where are we seeing that? Where's the first time we see that in Scripture? It's actually at the very, very beginning. God makes everything. We get to see in 7 days or in 6 days, he makes everything. And on the seventh day, what does he do? He rests. And you know what God does? He hallows that day. Day one, good. Day two, good. Day three, good. Day four, good. Day five, good. Day six, good and very good. Day seven, holy. God hallows this day. And I think there's a connection here. God sets this day completely apart. It is a day of no production. It is a day of complete being, not doing. It's a day of rest. It is the first day of with humanity with God. It's this holy day. It was this hallowed day. And when we pray, Jesus is saying, hallowed be your name. When you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he's saying, make God holy in your heart. Put him in a place that's totally distinct. That where God's not just working for you like idols. You know, there's so many idols in our lives where that's how idols would be used throughout history. You want rain for your farm? Go to that idol. You know, make a little sacrifice over there. And God worked for you, really. This prayer says, God, you are God and we are yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We set ourselves and totally distinct in the right place. But what is this right place? Where we are in relationship with our Father. He's totally separate. He's totally distinct. And I think prayer that I want to invite you into over this season is one that does look like Sabbath. That first day that was holy, that seventh day. Would you enter into this season through our Lent guides, through maybe some of your own prayer time, and don't try to produce for God. Just try to be with the Father as your Father. Come to him in this prayer every day, you know, over this season. That's what the Lent guide is going to actually help you do a lot. But come to him as your Father. Define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is an illusion. Again, from Brendan Manning, every other identity is an illusion. Teach us to pray. May God teach us in this season to say, our Father, from the deepest place of our soul. May we understand that heaven is not far away. And may we understand that his holiness is unlike all others. May he be hallowed in our hearts, that we might praise him for the rest of our days. Would you pray with me? Father, teach us to pray. Teach us that prayer is just being with you, that it is delighting in that relationship. Teach us not to interact with you like an employee, but as a child to his parent. God, would you in this moment just have your way with us? Let us respond to your gospel. Let us trust in you. And Jesus, would you be glorified and honored in our response? It is in Jesus' name that we make this prayer. Amen.